B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour of Mike Mussinelli Show on Friday. And the 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online, landisbc.com. We welcome in, man, joins us every Friday, although very different circumstances. Brian Westbrook on the line. B. West, how are you feeling today? How are you dealing with all this?
Well, similar to everyone else, I am still in a state of trying to figure it all out. You know, fortunately for us and my family, and, you know, this is certainly a pleasure, and I'm lucky to have it. We do have the horse farm, so we spent pretty much every day there with the kids running around and doing stuff with the horses, being outside, and, you know, we spend an awful lot of time up there in Brooklyn, so a lot of times we're kind of in the city, and so reintroducing my city kids to nature and the outdoors and arts and crafts and picking up sticks and bugs and all that other stuff has really been how we've been spending our time. But I've also spent an awful lot of time just praying for those people that have been affected by the coronavirus, that have been sick. Also for the people that have to show an incredible amount of patience and courage of being in a house, you know, in some cases, with someone that you married for a little while ago, but being in the house with them 24/7, which takes an awful lot of patience and love to kind of get through that.
You know, it really does. We're talking about that a lot today. Now, in your case, you got the young children, and you know, the farm is spread out a little bit, but still, you're used to getting, you know, going here, going there, and traveling a lot.
Yeah.
And now it's a different lifestyle. So, and we talk about these little annoyances turn into big annoyances. Yeah, I guess you guys are coming to terms with those together.
Well, you know what? I think you're absolutely right. You're forced to be together at this point in. I could see how, and listen, I was fortunate. I was married. I was able to marry my best friend, a person that I fell in love with, that we enjoy spending a lot of time together now. And we do that, especially because we have such young kids. And, you know, I wonder how my parents, who've been married for 41 years, when now they have to stay in the house together. So my mom, she can't go to the rec center and do Zumba and the yoga classes and all this other stuff. And my dad can't go out and hang out with his friends. How they survive, because I tell you, some of the things that I hear coming out of that household, just being together 24/7 is incredible. But, you know, I pray for everyone to have patience. I also pray that everyone starts to think about other people, not just ourselves. And that's pretty hard to do as well.
Yeah, it is, because everybody's out for themselves now. They're trying to survive. And that's the unfortunate part about this whole thing, because we'd love to be in this together and caring about other people. But, you know.
You know what, Mike? You know what's funny? I was talking about my buddy. He owns a gym, and you know, we were on the phone this morning, actually early this morning, and we kind of got in the argument. And a lot of his business is subscription based business at his gym. So basically, every month they charge out for, you know, $40,000 a month, you know, on credit card, just kind of repeated business. Mm-hmm. And he said to me that I hope that the people don't cancel their subscription. And I was like, well, I'll tell you right now, if I had a subscription to your gym, I would cancel mine because I can't come to the gym. Why would I want you to charge me? He's like, well, if they do cancel their subscription, then there won't be a gym to come to after, you know, this whole deal, the whole quarantine deal is over, because we won't be able to, you know, pay our bills. We still have to pay our rent. We still have to pay, you know, our salaries to our employees. And as a gym, it's just hard for him to deal with that. And really, that's just not isolated to my friend's gym. It's really across the country. A bunch of businesses are having to make hard decisions as far as their labor force. If they can stay open, do they have the wherewithal to withstand all of what's going on? I mean, it's just a terrible time for our country right now. I do believe this, and I said this last week to you. I do believe if we find a way to stick together during these horrible times, that we can get through it. It also will show how strong our country and the people in our country, the good people in our country, truly are.
All right, let's move it on to a little bit of football, because we had some news this week. And, you know, the Eagles, we didn't really know what they were planning on doing. They let Jenkins go, and then all of a sudden, who's going to play corner? and they grab a corner, Darius Slay, which is a pretty good get as far as I'm concerned. How did you think about what they've done over the last several days?
Well, obviously they were in the market for Byron Jones down there in Dallas, and they got outbidded just a bit there. They didn't want to pay the price. And really, when you're dealing with free agency, it's all about how much money do you want to pay. And there was a number that they felt comfortable with, the Eagles felt comfortable with, and they just basically got outbidded, which is understandable. They were able to get a very good cornerback in Darius Slay. And also someone that, you know, in kind of stark contrast to Byron Jones, as good as Byron Jones is, he doesn't create the turnovers. And I think in this defense, especially with the type of offense and scheme that we want to run, we need turnovers. And Darius Slay, with his 19 career interceptions, certainly is a guy that's going to have his hands on the ball. You know, and of course, I know you've seen the stats against for him versus Amari Cooper, which kind of bodes well for someone that you're going to see twice a year in your own division. But him playing man-to-man, which is something I think Jim Schwartz really has wanted to do for a long time here in Philadelphia, but really hasn't had the capability of doing based on the personnel he had on that side of the ball. I'm interested to see how that changes things, how that affects a matchup with even a guy that you kind of switch positions in with Jalen Mills. Now are they more comfortable saying, you know what, we can just play man-to-man across the board and we don't have to worry about anything with Jalen Mills now at that safety position? Or are you going to have Rodney McLeod coming up playing that Malcolm Jenkins type of situation? And so I think it kind of changes things from Jim Schwartz just a bit. But also, anytime you can get an infusion of talent, of guys that can help you win, guys that have the right attitude, and from everyone that I've talked to that knows Darius Slay, they say he has the right attitude. He has a winning attitude. He's a leader in the locker room, and he can help you win. And that's exactly the type of guy that you want here on this team. The other thing is this, Mike. I know they got rid of Malcolm Jenkins, and obviously it was an age thing. It was a salary thing. But in my opinion, even bigger than the age, even bigger than the salary, to me, it was a way to kind of hand this team more to Carson Wentz. Make him the absolute leader of this football team, whether it's the offense or defensive side. You took another leader, an older leader off the team. Not that Malcolm Jenkins was any type of problem at all, because I think Malcolm was a stand-up guy and did a great job in the locker room making sure guys are ready to play. But also, at this point, they want to make sure that everyone inside that locker room knows this is Carson Wentz's team. And we saw the improvement of Carson Wentz the last four or five games without some of the other guys on the active roster being out there on the field. Carson Wentz played much better. And I think Howie Roseman took note. I think he saw that. And now, not that, you know, he had to go a long way to try to get rid of Malcolm Jenkins because of his salary demands, but I think it also played a part into it. Now this is Carson Wentz's team, and I think when you bring in guys like Darius Slay that are willing to fall in line with Carson Wentz being a leader, I think it's going to help this team in the long run.
Let me ask you about the I don't know, how the optics of the Malcolm Jenkins thing. So he played last year, and he missed the camp, and he made it clear to them this is why he was disgruntled. And I think he got a message from ownership that, hey, we're going to take care of you, know that, so just go out and play. And then they turn around and do this. So I know football is a business, but what about that? Do you see that as dirty dealing in a little bit of a way?
I think if I was Malcolm Jenkins, I would, if he got those types of guarantees, meaning the organization, Howie Rosen said, we'll take care of you next year, don't worry, we'll make it happen, which in my opinion, again, I don't know this to be true. I don't think actually happened. I think Malcolm Jenkins at that point last year, he understood exactly what it was. He understood his age. I think he was 31 at the time. He understood how the Eagles do business, and he went out and had a great year, a really good year by his standards. And I think he understood how the end was going to happen. And that's why at the end of the season, he made his feelings very, very clear by saying, I'm not playing underneath this contract. And I also feel that he understood there were other opportunities out there for a leader like him that's going to play 95%+ of the plays, that's going to do everything that you ask him to do, that's going to help you win, that there's another opportunity out there for him to play. And so I don't look at it as dirty kind of play for the organization, even though I, you know, we've seen guys like Malcolm, Brian Dawkins, not that they're in the same vein, but similar guys leave this organization where they still have some very good years in front of them. And I kind of put Malcolm Jenkins in that same vein as Doc in the way that, yes, there are some good years ahead of you, but this team wants to get younger. We saw that, and we saw the initiative when they pushed Jason Peters out the door just a bit there. They want to get younger. They want to have a new source of leadership, and that's Carson Wentz. And I think Malcolm Jenkins, with the bigger salary demands, probably just didn't fit into that class of work, which way they wanted to move towards.
All right. That's a nice way of saying it. I think they did him dirty. I really do. I think that one.
You think they guaranteed him?
Yeah, I think that there's something you have to separate what the right thing to do is for certain players. And I understand that this business can be a heartless business, but I think that you drug him down the wrong path last year, and you got what you needed, and you discarded him. I don't like that kind of dealing. And I think, like, as it turns out, He didn't get the money that he probably wanted from the Eagles. And I get it that he got a couple of years guaranteed in New Orleans. That's the least I think the Eagles could have done for him. I don't know. Maybe.
Isn't that how sports go, though, Mike? Isn't that how sports are at this point?
It is for most people, but there are certain people, like the Dawk thing. I understand Dawk's in a higher category, but there are certain people you just shouldn't treat dirty. I understand the other part of it fully. But this guy, you know, gave you a heart last year, and I think he relied on your word, and then you went back on your word. I don't think that's right.
Are you 100% certain that they gave him his word? That's the one thing that, if they gave him his word, then obviously it's dirty.
I wasn't in Jeffrey Lurie's living room, so no, I can't say that for certain. But all indications, like, you know, Mr. Owner got involved in this, and I think that's what he trusted.
Well, wouldn't Malcolm Jenkins, in this day and age, wouldn't Malcolm Jenkins have said something by this point?
In this day and age.
To this point and say, you know, I was guaranteed by Mr. Lurie. And really, he probably would have said it right after when he mentioned, I'm not going to play for the salary, the contract that I'm under. Because Mr. Lurie said at the beginning of the season, if I sign on here, that he'll pay me after the season. Now let's get to the pay me part. Wouldn't he have said it at that point?
I don't know if he would throw an owner under the bus. I think the players would be reluctant to do that in general. So I don't know. You could be right. And maybe he didn't get anything and he just relied on his own play. But like it flopped awful. You look at last year when he was dug in and then all of a sudden he got mild about it. He had to be told something.
Yes, I agree. I wonder whether he was told. I would certainly believe that they told him. Here's the other thing, Mike. If they said, you know, it's going to depend on your play. And Malcolm Jenkins went out there and played, I'm going to say 97, 98% of the plays on the defensive side of the ball. It doesn't get better than that. So, I mean, even though he didn't have a great, great year, he had a really good year. And he didn't play like he was 25, but he played like a leader of that football team, one of the most consistent players on the football team as a whole. So I think that he should have been rewarded. Now, again, I think it goes back to a lot of different things. Does this team want to get younger? Absolutely. Does Malcolm Jenkins and giving him a 2-3 year contract allow this team to get younger? No, it does not. Does bringing Malcolm Jenkins back to the locker room add another leader, another voice that Carson Wentz has to kind of play a back seat to? Absolutely. And I think if you combine those two things, you give yourself a great reason, if you're Howie Roseman, to say, okay, now it's time to walk away from Malcolm Jenkins, even though and we talked about this last week, as a guy that's watched the game, has watched Malcolm Jenkins play, has seen his effect on the defense, I thought for certain they would bring him back. But looking at it from the team's side, I can see why they made that decision, even though I still think Malcolm Jenkins certainly has a place on my football team, no matter who's on my team.
All right. The Brady thing, your reaction.
Wow. You know, to me, this Tom Brady situation was always going to come down, once the CBA was ratified and signed and all that, it was always going to come down to the best coach that has ever coached in our profession and the best quarterback that has ever played in our profession, having a sit down man to man. I'm looking across the table at Bill Belichick if I'm Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick is looking across the table at me if I'm Bill Belichick, and I'm saying, you know what, We could try to figure out if we can win without each other, or we can just say, you know what, we have our best chance of winning with each other. And for that to happen, Mike, it's going to have to take Tom Brady's ego to kind of drop down a notch, as well as Bill Belichick. And we also, I think that we were understanding that Robert Kraft was at least willing to write the check. He was willing to write the 2-year, $50 million check for Tom Brady, which he probably is worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, I'm saying, okay, is that going to happen? And all indication in my mind was pointing to where they'll at least have the conversation and Bill Belichick will say his piece, Tom Brady will say his piece, and they'll figure things out. And, you know, over the course of time, it just kind of started looking like Tom Brady wanted to find out if, you know, he was better off or could have more fun or could win more games in a different location. And that was getting away from Bill Belichick. And I think in a way, Bill Belichick has done business one way his entire career in there in New England. He treated Tom Brady like he was someone else, like he was just another guy, instead of saying he's the greatest of all time. And mm-hmm. no matter what age he is, we want this guy here. And to your earlier point about Malcolm Jenkins, sometimes you just gotta treat guys differently, and some guys deserve it. And if you're telling me a guy that took you to 9 Super Bowls, that has won 6 of those Super Bowls in the last 20 years of football, if there was any guy that's going to be treated different, it would be that guy. And unfortunately, the Patriots weren't willing to play that type of game.
All right, I want to take some calls, and you got to be prepared to answer some questions about relationships and what people are dealing with now.
Absolutely.
Little annoyances that turned into big annoyances. But I wanted to ask you about the Darius Slay thing that he said about Matt Patricia, because you're obviously a very accomplished football player, has played for a lot of coaches, and maybe a lot of them were vulgar and gruff. So Slay said that there was an incident when he was in 2018, Matt Patricia's first training camp, and he said it was a team meeting room, and he said, I quote, he told me in front of the whole team in the team meeting room, showed clips of me in practice getting a ball caught on me or so in practice. I posted a picture of a wide receiver on social media, and he told me, stop sucking this man's private.
Wow.
So I'm like, whoa. I'm like, hold up. Where I'm from, that don't fly, because I wouldn't say that to him. I wouldn't say to him, you know what, to Bill Belichick. I wouldn't do that. That's just not me as a man. That's disrespectful to me. And so from there on, it was done with, talking about his relationship with this head coach. Mm-hmm. Your feelings on that?
There are certain things, Mike, that I could feel that I could say to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that I couldn't say to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was said to someone else, it's going to be a problem. I should be ready to fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's every relationship. And coaches don't understand that just the same way as anyone else. Or Andy Reid could talk to Donovan McNabb in a certain way that another coach, Pat Shurmur, probably couldn't, or vice versa. And the same thing with me. And I think respect is the one thing that every NFL player demands and absolutely wants. And that's disrespect. There's no other way to look at it. I don't care if you're a hard-nosed coach or not. If the players don't look at you in that way and you don't have that type of relationship, that's disrespect. And everyone knows, no matter who you are, disrespect, it just won't be tolerated, period. And I think that's the wrong way to talk to one of your best players, personally, unless you have that type of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Darius Slay and Matt Patricia did not have that type of relationship. And I can see, if I was Darius Slay, how we were going to have a problem. I'd never forget this, Mike. When I was out in San Francisco, it was me, Frank Gore, and we had a couple of rookies behind us. And I came into the meeting room, and Tom Raskin, the old fullback for the 49ers, was the position coach. And I said, listen, are we going over anything? He said, no. I said, okay, cool. I'm not going to open my book. And so as the meeting began, one of the rookies came in late, and Tom Raskin was upset with the rookie. But instead of saying something to him, he started talking to me. Now, as a veteran player who had been in the league longer than everyone else in that locker room, who's doing the right thing, I show up early, I'm doing all the right things, everything that you asked me to do, I'm not the guy that you're going to disrespect. And I never was the type of guy to be disrespectful to the coach. However, I'm not going to be disrespected either.
Mm-hmm.
And he started saying some things to me, and we literally almost came to blows because of the way that he was talking to me instead of talking to the rookie as you should. and speaking to them, that's how you handle things. That's how you kind of handle things in the NFL and in sports. If you want to say something vulgar and nasty to the older guys, usually you say it to the rookies, and the older guys, if they're paying attention, they'll get the picture. But in this case, Tom Rathman said some nasty things to me that were disrespectful. We didn't have that type of relationship, and we almost came to blows. And again, I'm not that type of guy, but again, disrespect in any way just isn't tolerated. And what Matt Patricia said to Darius Slay is disrespectful, then that should never be tolerated.
So in general, it's disrespectful, or is it disrespectful because Slay was at such a plateau in his career where he was a veteran who deserved more respect?
In general, that's disrespect, period. But on the same level, anything else that falls underneath that, whether he's a veteran or not, that's absolutely disrespectful too. So I think on both levels, in my opinion, it's disrespectful because at some point you've earned this. I've been to 3 Pro Bowls. I've earned the respect for when you walk into the room, you address me properly. The same way, Mike, you've earned a certain level of respect because you're Mike Missanelli. You're the best afternoon drive person in the country, period. And you earned a certain level of respect, and I can't come to you talking to you in a disrespectful manner. That's just not right, and it's disrespect. And you certainly should be defensive about that. And I think that's exactly what Darius Slay is saying.
And I get it. And do you think that all these guys that have been...
How are you going to just skip over the compliment I just threw out?
I gave it like one of those looks into the camera. I was startled that you said that. Well, I certainly appreciate the compliment. I'll take that any day of the week. That compliment, right? I don't know if it's true, but I appreciate you saying it. I like it.
Well, it's true in my eyes, but that's what it matters.
I appreciate that. All right, now, so let me just say that these coaches that have been assistants under Belichick, and they see the way he has done it, where he is not warm and fuzzy. He doesn't look like he likes any of his players, but he has shown them a method to win, right? So you think all these guys are trying to be wannabes, but they haven't earned that mantle yet?
Well, one thing, they haven't earned it. The other thing, and I don't know this about Bill Belichick, but again, it's a big difference between being hard on the guys and being disrespectful. Right? Mm-hmm. You can be hard on anybody. I think guys they appreciate you being hard on them. They appreciate you holding them to the fire. They appreciate you wanting them to be better, getting the best out of them. They're being disrespectful to something totally different. Like, there are times where, of course, Andy Reid yelled at me, he yelled at everyone inside that building. And it wasn't a disrespectful yell. It was, you're better than this, and I expect better from you. Not, you're doing something this other man. That's just disrespect. That's something that, again, is not right. And I don't think any of those former coaches, including Mike Vrabel, who went to the playoffs this year in the AFC title game, has earned that type of ability to be disrespectful to his guys.
I get the respect level. I look at some football coaches like they're cement heads. Right. And what he's trying, I know what he's trying to say. He's trying to be ultra competitive and like, don't curry favor with your opponent because he's the enemy. And why are you being so soft on that guy? And so he said it in a vulgar and gruff manner, like a lot of football coaches would say. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's like a kind of a barbaric football mentality to talk that way, isn't it?
Well, I don't know that a lot of football coaches would say that. I really, really don't. And I played football for 9 years in the NFL, and obviously I played high school and college. And my best coaches, Randy rarely ever cussed mm-hmm. at all. I could probably count the amount of times I've heard him cuss on one hand. My high school coach, Morgan Wooten, the best high school coach in the history of high school basketball, the most winningest high school coach, he never cussed at all, period. Now, my football high school coach, he cussed, but it wasn't kind of at us. It was to us, and I don't know if that even makes any sense. Mm-hmm. It was kind of, those words that you say to try to fire the guys up, not trying to demean them and take them down. And to me, that's a big difference. And I think that's the difference between respect and trying to get the best out of your guys.
I forgot that you played for Morgan Wooten.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't he retire like shortly after you left the Matha?
Yeah,
he's a legendary guy, that dude. He was like John Wooden in a lot of ways, wasn't he?
I mean, John Wooden, I think, was the winningest college coach, and he certainly was the winningest high school coach when he retired. I think he still is, and unfortunately he passed away about a month or maybe a couple of months ago at this point. But great coach, and he had the ability to teach you about life and basketball at the same exact time, and which was, you know, which is unique, and not very many coaches that I've experienced have that ability to do that.
I remember I covered a McDonald's All-American game that he coached. He was the coach of that team. I forget who was on that team, but I covered a McDonald's All-American game once. All right, 6-1.
Funny, Mike.
Go ahead.
Before we go, he was the chairman of the McDonald's game, and at the originally when they first started this years ago, they were going to pay him. He said, "Look, I don't want you to pay me. I want McDonald's stock." And so just think about McDonald's stock back in the 60s, and he carried that all the way until his unfortunate passing away a couple of months ago.
That's amazing.
Think about that.
That's amazing. In fact, I think the game I covered, this was early in my career, he was the coach one side. Speedy Morris was the coach on the other side.
Wow.
I believe Speedy Morris was the coach. I'll have to check on that. All right, 610-622-0975. Your calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
I get the Twitter poll out here. 4:30, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Leganoff. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,500 votes on this one today. Be honest, are you already tired of spending time with your significant other? 38% say yes, 62% say no. So.
Alrighty. Thank you very much. You know, the game, I'm looking at the McDonald's game I covered. This is 79. It's like one. I was early in my journalistic career. I think it may be my first year. And it was the 79 team. You ready for this? Sam Bowie.
Oof.
Antoine Carr. Quentin Daly. Remember Q? Quentin Daly? Played in the league for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Sidney Green. Clark Kellogg.
He was a great college player.
Sidney Lowe.
Great college player.
These are high schools now. Mm-hmm. Dirk Minifield played in the league. John Paxson, Ralph Sampson, Byron Scott, Isaiah Thomas.
I ended up rewatching that game. Sampson destroyed Bowie, and they made a lot of fuss because there was a lot of hype about Bowie going into college, obviously, and Ralph Sampson took him apart.
Yeah, and there was a guy from Philly and a guy from DeMatha in that game.
Who?
Derek Wittenberg and Sidney Lowe. Sidney Lowe went to DeMatha and Derek Wittenberg went to DeMatha and they went both with NC State. And the Philly guy was Horace Pappy Owens from Dobbins Tech. He played at Rhode Island. He was a great player. I got into a pickup game with that dude. I had to guard that dude.
Because
he was a guard. I was a guy. Yeah. I was matched up again. He destroyed me. It was ridiculous. All right, let's go. I'm trying to guard this dude. I'm like, come on, man. Sean in Wilmington. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, Nat, Ty, Mike, Miss.
What's up, Sean?
Pleasure talking to you guys. I'm really glad you guys keep, like, one show after another, you guys are still putting it on, even though there's a limited amount of sports.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So, I really do like the Slay signing. I mean, the money's a little much, but they can afford it. So that's awesome. We need that lockdown corner. And especially when it comes to his stats against receivers in our division, he's locked them down. So, and I like that guy's mentality. He's like, hey, if I mess up, I'm going to get over it. And he just comes to play. But when it comes to... So I've been with my girlfriend for 3 years now. We've lived together for two. She's a special ed teacher. So she's been off for 2 weeks now. She's going stir crazy. And it looks like I'm going to have I work in construction, so I'm going to have a work stoppage coming up. Because every state anywhere near here is shutting down. So I'm guessing come Monday, they're going to tell me that we're not doing anything.
Yeah.
So
it's going to get worse. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't have a problem. I mean, as much as I love to work because mm-hmm. it keeps me busy,
yeah.
keeps me out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But me and her have this, like, we're both two simple people that don't get bothered about things. So, like, mm-hmm. around the household, like we don't mind, like, the open cabinets or where the toilet paper is or any of that stuff.
Yeah, but, you don't, huh? It's only a weekend. What?
No,
talk to me a month from now.
I will. I mean, I'm going to keep listening and keep uh-huh. calling. And
yeah.
A month from, yeah. But no, we seriously don't. Like that. I'm 32 years old. I took a very long time to figure out what type of woman I want to be with. And I had plenty of relationships before where I got to here.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, thankfully we have a puppy. Oh, here she is.
We can't see your puppy.
So we have a distraction as well.
All right, buddy. Listen, here's the thing we were talking about. Love is, certainly love is there, but love, Brian, I think you'll agree. Love, a lot of it is based on some kind of level of independence or ability to breathe also.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's what actually enhances love, when you actually have a little bit of an avenue on your own where you can go here, go there, instead of being quarantined and cloistered in one spot. So this is the big test for a lot of people.
And you're also kind of forced to have conversations that you normally can kind of get away from. Oh, we can talk about that after work on Friday. We'll talk about that on a Monday, not on a Friday night. And now you're kind of forced to,
uh-huh.
and that honey-do list
yeah.
is getting longer and longer. Oh, my goodness, Mike. Oh, why don't we paint this room, and why don't we buy this furniture? I've heard it all. And I'll tell you what has not stopped. Internet shopping has not stopped. And so in my house, what I've done is I turned the dog on Wi-Fi off. Nobody gets to use the laptop.
You got the Brian Westbrook code for the Wi-Fi?
No. I take the plug out of the dog on router. Nobody gets to do anything on the computer. When no one's shopping. No one's watching the YouTube shows. None of that.
And you get away with that?
Yeah.
Because you'd be West 30.
Because
you'd be West 36. That's why you get away with it for now.
So far, Mike. So far, so good. I tell you, we still got a little ways to go here, so I'm hoping for the best.
Oh, I take the plug out of the doggone wall.
I've always disagreed with a lot of what Brian says.
You like it?
I respect it. I wouldn't try it at my house. But I respect him doing it at his house.
You can do it clandestinely.
No,
she wouldn't know it.
Are
you doing it, Brian? Are you doing this like they don't know that you pulled the plug, that you Wi-Fi? Yeah. Something wrong with the Wi-Fi?
You guys are the only people that know.
And see, your wife's not listening, so you can get away with this.
All right, so thought he was like iron fisted it.
No.
All y'all get off the internet now.
I know.
That's the one. He's doing it a little different.
I'm not that tough in my house. I gotta kind of sneak and do it when everyone.
All right,
you're sneaking the plug out. I can't believe it.
Yeah,
that's good.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:43, Mike Missinelli's show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It appears that everything is being shut down now. Even dry cleaners, they're gone.
Dry cleaners,
pets, my doggy daycare center out. Baker's closed down. Yep.
Barbershops.
Nail
shops.
Mm-hmm. Everything's pretty much closed down.
Tattoo shops.
I think they did revisit it so laundromats can stay open.
Laundromats can stay open.
I think that I just saw that. Let me verify, you know, right? Did I see that?
I think you saw that. You can go ahead and try to verify.
Yeah.
The important thing for people, though, is all fast food restaurants that have takeout and the grocery stores will all be open. So there is still no food shortage. So even with the shutdowns right now, just everybody remember, if you don't have groceries right now, that's okay. Food, all the food places except one, well, all the food places are open, and all the bars are open for food except the ones that did not have a kitchen already. That yes. one thing that has to be clear.
Shout out to Wawa. I think that's a good policy.
Yes,
they
though.
Shut down their self-serve coffee and donuts and all that stuff.
Yeah, you can still get them, but somebody with gloves that's in there will pour it for you or get you your stuff.
Now, are places like Target and Walmart open?
Those are still allowed to be open. Those are staple places.
Okay.
Oof. I don't know why.
Still move around a little bit.
Yeah, they're staple places. All right. There's still a lot of people could come. Like, I was in the grocery store today. There's a lot of people in the grocery store. It's like, are we supposed to ignore the fact that we're in a grocery store with a lot of people?
Well, they said that that's what part of the reason why they did the early morning hours for the older people. And people are not supposed to be going to the supermarket in this volume. They're not supposed to be.
Yeah, they are because I gave up. I got the couple blocks of cheese I was going to buy. I put it right back. There's too many people in there.
We're not supposed to be, and that's why if you can do the local businesses, we talked about this, and do a takeout order for a day or two, that would also help both the business and the crunch at the grocery store, if you can do it.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Jamie on the cell. Jamie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jamie.
Hey.
What's up,
how is everybody?
How you doing?
It's a very courageous thing you guys are doing, just like the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. Courage. Courage. I got two items. I go back to Franklin Field with the Eagles. And these quarterbacks that I see that are going very iconic Pro Bowl quarterbacks, Unitas, Montana, Namath, you know, Brett Favre, Manning. Now I hear Joe Flacco. Brady's going to Tampa Bay. You know, it's a very sad, more than usual thing that the best football is behind them. And I never really cared for it. It's like Steve Carlton when he left the Phillies and bounced around with different teams with the Chicago White Sox and everything. It was sad.
The quarterback situation isn't sad. These guys can still play.
Yeah, but their best years are behind them.
Well, not necessarily. Quarterbacks can play for a really long time. You think Brady's best years are behind him? I mean, he's still a good quarterback, whether he's not the 28-year-old Tom Brady or not. You know, Flacco has been with a couple teams, so he's on the downside. But a lot of the quarterbacks are not on the downside yet.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. 10,000 people signed up for season tickets in Tampa Bay after he signed.
Yeah.
So it's a money deal.
Love the
Tom is definitely on the downside. Tom is on the downside.
He is, but he's not that. Like, you look at Tampa Bay and you go, they're going to be good with him. It's not like he's like hit a wall. He still has enough left to make that team win 10 games. Don't you think?
They have a bunch of weapons. They got a bunch of weapons. Mike Evans, a couple of running backs, Ronald Jones down there, Chris Godwin, good receiver, Raheem Morris. The defensive coordinator down there had a very good defense.
They're going to be good with him. I mean, he's certainly less erratic.
If he doesn't throw 30 interceptions,
he's not going to throw 30 interceptions.
Here's the crazy stat: Jameis threw the 30 interceptions the last 4 years. Brady's thrown 29.
Wow.
So if he just game manages till they get to the postseason and then make a couple plays. That's 10 games, like you said, Mike.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he? You know what I mean? He's got a lot of weapons.
He, if you watched him last year, he didn't fall off the map. He's still a competent quarterback. He had no people around him at all. A
lot of injuries, too.
All right, let's go.
Well, now he doesn't have to carry the team. That's the most important thing. He has guys that can help him carry the football team this year instead of having to carry and overcome everything himself last year.
And these guys are still like, Phillip Rivers is still in demand, at least for 1 year. It's not like he totally stinks. They just wanted to move in a different direction.
And playing in a dome.
It's not like
too.
Steve Carlton. Steve Carlton had pus by the end of his career. He couldn't pitch anymore.
Yeah, and even Montana got the conference championships with the Chiefs. We forget that. Got injured, but he got the two conference championships.
Mike, Center City, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, everyone. Hey, Mike, I got a potential violation for you, but I may have gotten bailed out by the NCAA tournament getting canceled. And this is pertinent with Brian here. So I'm a Penn State alum, but I've been going to Villanova games my entire life. My mom went there, had season tickets since I was born.
Mm-hmm.
So my friends always give me trouble because I always say if Penn State were to meet Villanova in the NCAA basketball tournament, that I would root for Villanova.
Yeah.
They say that's messed up. That's a violation.
It is.
Why?
Well, because your school is your heart. Your school is your heart. You can't. So just because you grew up and your mom went there and you went to Villanova, your heart is occupied by the school that shapes you as a man.
But Villanova shaped me way more as a man. I've been going
No, you were a kid. You were a kid still, going to Villanova
still
games.
Today, but still today I'm going.
When you get out of Penn State, how long have you been out of Penn State?
4 years.
4 years? I couldn't do it. Your school's your heart.
Isn't it more loyal to be
to your alma mater that turns you into a bachelor's degree?
What, Brian, what do you think on this?
Well, I think Mike is absolutely wrong. I think that you had 4 years at Penn State, which this is nothing new for Mike being wrong. You had 4 years at Penn State, but your whole upbringing was all Villanova.
That's fugazi. Rooting for a college is rooting for your heart. That's not a genuine affection just because you go to Villanova games.
Absolutely, it is.
That's no, it's not. Sport. You have no connection to the university except you live in the same geographical area. That's not a heart.
My mother went there.
That's superficial rooting. Well, you didn't go there.
But I've been going to games literally hundreds.
You're asking me my opinion. Violation. Westbrook, he's got the Villanova taint. So now, obviously, he's going to say
State
that. I don't have the Penn
way.
State bias. If you went to Notre Dame, I'd say the same thing. Your team is your heart. Your school is your heart. Come on, man.
You grew up with the Villanova. You love him. You became a man.
Stop it. Stop making it worse.
What if you go to college in Dallas? Are you supposed to become a Cowboys fan?
No, because it's not your school. We're talking about school here, not the Cowboys. We're not talking about anything superficial. Any rooting interest outside of your school, if you go to a major school that has that kind of a major college program, you've got to be that then.
I mean, I would argue that their basketball program was barely major before this year.
It doesn't matter. You were on the campus. You lived the life of that college for 4 years that turned you into something substantial.
If
you have a job now, right? Would you have that job if it weren't for Penn State?
That question has nothing to do with reality.
He's talking about in a match, like if he's ignoring the Penn State rooting interest to root for Villanova, that's a violation. It's a total violation.
It is.
Your school, that's a sacred bond that you have with your school. Now, if you went to a small school and you decided, like the Division I program is Villanova, well, that's fine. But you go to a Division I school that has Division I programs, you can't ignore that.
Now, real fast before Brian's going, I need you guys to roll in on another violation. You were just talking about Tom Brady and the Bucks. Chris Godwin says, I'm very passionate. He wears number 12. Obviously, that's Brady's number. I'm very passionate about this number. I've been wearing it since I was in high school. So basically acting like he's not going to come up off that 12.
Yeah, you know, Chris's pop is out there. Pop calls this station all the time.
Right. So Brian, Mike,
Chris,
Godwin
man.
Hold on to 12?
I love Chris Godwin. He's a good kid. He's a Penn Stater. His dad's good people. This is the best quarterback in the history of the game. Come on, Chris.
Yeah. What you think, Brian?
It's a no-brainer. It's an absolute no-brainer. And I tell you what, it's such a no-brainer that the coach or equipment manager, they won't even have a conversation with Chris Godwin, who is a really good receiver.
Really
I'm
good.
I'm not taking anything.
Thousand-yarder.
But we're, We're talking about you're talking about the greatest of all time. That's coming to your team to help you hopefully get to the Super Bowl and win some big games. You give the doggone number up. There's no question about that.
Exactly. And Brian speaks from the heart because they disrespected him last year by giving it to some backup special teams dude, number 36. Total stain on the legacy.
That number should never, and you know I'm a Brian Westbrook hater. That number should never be worn again by any Philadelphia Eagle. Seriously, that is flat out.
Hey, listen, man, have a great weekend with the horses. Stay isolated, all right?
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, here's Brian Westbrook, brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. All right, we roll into the 5 o'clock hour. I can't believe that guy was trying to cheese that. I grew up with Villanova. My mom went there, went to all the games. Your heart changes.
Right.
Come on, man. You can't shirk your school. All right. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.